Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time that we have this morning to look at it. Please use your word to teach us of Jesus, to challenge us, to shape us. By your Spirit, work in us to grow us as disciples of Jesus, and we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, as I'm up here with this dodgy knee, it got me thinking a bit. Reflecting a bit about things. It's been quite the year for me, as some of you will know. I had a bunch of stuff throughout the last year, medical stuff. I had some blood clots at the end of last year, which was great. And then in the middle of this year, we took some long flights to the UK with little kids, which was wonderful. I battled with jet lag, which was... the staff heard about it a lot. Cut my finger up a month ago, blaming the jet lag for that. And now I've got this weird knee infection. It's been quite the year. Life's really hard for me, isn't it? But more seriously, it's nothing like what it has been for many others. Those who've experienced real suffering. The world can be a hard one at times, can't it? Of course, there are wonderful things that we get to enjoy in this life. But the world is also filled with brokenness. People suffering. Things don't happen as they should. So how do we find comfort in the midst of that? I'm amazed at the way that people can speak with hope after having been put through the ringer. For those who were at the celebration lunch, when we heard from Matt from our church in the afternoon congregation about how he's still trusting God's good plan for him, in and through him, even though he's been struggling with long COVID for months now. Well, we'll consider some of those things, how we might have comfort in our broken world as we look at our passage today. Today we start this new series in the book of Matthew, continuing in the gospel, picking up from where we left off in term one, where we looked at the Sermon on the Mount. If you wanted to listen to those again, you can find them on the website, as well as the rest of our Matthew series over the last couple of years. And then the next couple of chapters, we'll read about some of the miraculous things that Jesus did. Healings, exorcisms, control over nature, control over death. The power and authority of Jesus on display here. And today we'll consider the hope that Jesus brings us in the broken world we live in as we see his power to heal. Now, at the start of our passage, we read that Jesus had come down from the mountainside and there were these crowds that followed him, which is obviously a link back to our previous section where he'd been on the mount teaching his disciples and there'd been this crowd of followers who he was also teaching, where he taught them about God's kingdom and what it means to live as kingdom people. And we read at the end of that sermon, end of chapter 7, that he taught with them as one with authority. And now in these next couple of chapters, we'll see that authority of Jesus expressed in a slightly different way. Jesus' authority to heal, as the centurion describes it in our passage. And as we consider these miracles, it will teach more about Jesus and how we can have comfort in him in the midst of a broken world. So let's look at Jesus' authority to heal. First, we see him healing the leper. Matthew, chapter 8, verse 2. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." This leper approaches Jesus for help. And notice what he asks for. He doesn't actually ask for healing, does he? He asks to be clean. He asks for cleansing. And that's because leprosy, which actually encompassed a group of skin issues in the Bible, was not only a physical problem, but it was a ceremonial problem. In Leviticus, we read that those who had leprosy were basically to be excluded from society. They were to live outside the city. They were to shout out, "Unclean!" when others were nearby, so that these others knew to give them sort of a wide berth. But this leper knows that Jesus can cleanse him. And we see his trust in that expressed by the risk he takes coming to Jesus while in the midst of this crowd. He comes to the crowd of healthy people he's supposed to avoid. Like coming into a crowded room when you've been testing positive for COVID because you know you might find a cure in there. He's the outsider, the one to avoid. But Jesus doesn't shun him or tell him off or tell him to go away. Rather, he does what the leper asks. He cleanses him. And notice that he does so by touching the man, which is astonishing for two reasons. First, the last thing you want to do with somebody who's ceremonially unclean is touch them, because this would make you ceremonially unclean, not to mention the risk of catching something from the leper. The unclean leprosy makes others unclean. Like if you've got dirty hands and you shake someone else's hand, your dirty unsanitariness turns to them and their hand is now dirty. But not so for Jesus. His purity is catching. It spreads and cleanses the leper. The dirty hand shakes the clean hand, but Jesus' power is so powerful that the clean hand of Jesus makes the dirty hand clean. The power of Jesus to heal. Second, consider the touch and the tender action this is from Jesus. The man probably wouldn't have had anyone touch him in a long time. And so this move of Jesus to accept him by touching him is touching. Jesus' power to heal him also kind of welcomes him back into society. He's now cleansed, and so he can rejoin society. And all he needs to do is go and get the formal stamp of approval from the priest. And then he can re-enter the community. Jesus has power to heal the leper. And not only that, he uses his power to show compassion to the leper, reaching out the hand of fellowship. Jesus heals, and in doing so, he welcomes in the one who lives on the outside, who lives on the edge, welcomes them in to the community. Jesus offers healing and hope to the excluded. Who are those in our world who fit this kind of category? Who we put off to the side and live on the edge. People with those tricky health issues who need a lot of help. The older people in our society. The more awkward or shy person. Or in our area, which has got a high proportion of families, is it the single people or the childless couples? Those who normally sit on the edge of our society, we see, well, Jesus offers community to them. He's offering, as he does the leper, he offers social healing, reaching out to all those who would be excluded to welcome them into his community, into his church, where they might be welcomed and loved. So we need to be on the front foot with this, I think. Reaching out to those around us, to those who feel like they're on the edge of society, reaching out to them to bring them in so they might experience the community that Jesus offers. Who are those you could invite to be part of the group things you do, to include in your communities, so that you could tell them of Jesus and the radical acceptance and healing that he offers them? Jesus has authority to heal the excluded. The second one to experience Jesus' healing is another strange one. It's the Roman centurion, an enemy of the Jews, comes to Jesus and asks him to heal his servant. Verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, that interaction actually shows us that what the centurion is asking is a somewhat unexpected and even scandalous request. And I think it's highlighted in the way that Jesus responds in verse 7. Now, I know in the NIV that I just read and in our pew, it says that Jesus says, I will go and heal him. But I think it's better expressed in the 2011 NIV, which says, shall I go and heal him? There's an emphasis on the I in Jesus' statement. He's asking, do you expect me to come and heal him? For it was inappropriate for a Jew, let alone a Jewish leader, to go to the home of a Gentile. This would make him ceremonially unclean. And I think the reason that I prefer this reading to the I will go and heal him is that look at how the centurion responds. He understands that this is a scandalous request, which is why he responds by saying he doesn't deserve Jesus to come under his roof. He holds Jesus in such high regard that he doesn't want to put him into that situation. So he asks Jesus to heal the servant from there, like a long-distance healing. A centurion is showing his trust in just how much authority he sees Jesus having. Because the centurion is one who understands authority. He's under authority, presumably the emperor's authority, and he uses that authority to get things done without needing to be present himself. And he likens this to Jesus and the authority that he has. Jesus has the authority of God and so can heal like God without needing to be present. And this trust that the centurion has in Jesus is something that Jesus is astonished by. Verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was astonished. And he said to those following him, I tell you the truth. I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. This trust the centurion has, that Jesus has the ability and the willingness to heal as one who has the authority of God, is something that Jesus has not seen in Israel. Even his own disciples have not yet realized that Jesus is the Christ. And in healing the centurion's servant, Jesus reveals that the kingdom is far bigger than they would have thought. People from throughout the globe will come into the kingdom and enjoy the banquet along with God's chosen people. It's not about who you are, but your response to Jesus. Jesus has power to heal the centurion's servant, the outsider, the enemy. Jesus is, in healing him, we see that Jesus goes beyond social expectation. He heals the enemy. The enemy who understands who Jesus is and who has put their trust in him. And then as the gospel unfolds, we see that Jesus will do this in a much more significant way. He will offer spiritual healing to God's enemies. Healing by his death on the cross to all who come to him by faith, in faith. So that all people are able to come and join the heavenly banquet. All who trust in him can come and join the heavenly banquet, no matter where they're from. So no matter whether you think you're beyond Jesus' offer for healing, or you think that you don't fit that kind of the Christian mold, your life is a bit different, or perhaps you feel like you don't deserve Jesus to come into your house, know this, Jesus is both willing and able to heal. He brings healing to all who come to him and put their trust in him. He will forgive all and welcomes them into his heavenly banquet. And so for us who already trust Jesus, whoever you think is beyond Jesus know that they are not. He is gathering people from all across the globe, from all different peoples and nations and backgrounds and persuasions, and he offers healing to all who come to him. So who are those who we have assumed would be unwilling to come to Jesus? Those who we've already made their mind up for them. That they're outside the socially acceptable group that we normally tell about Jesus. Who are those people who we can tell that Jesus offers everyone the healing they so desperately need? Jesus has authority to heal the outsider. The next two healings are much shorter instances. Peter's mother-in-law, verse 14. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. I want us to notice a few things from here. Firstly, Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from a fever, a serious illness at the time. No medicine like we have today, no doctors to tell them to get an x-ray of their dodgy knee and then take some antibiotics. This was a potential death sentence. Peter's mother-in-law is seemingly beyond help for her illness, a desperate situation. Second, it's Jesus who notices her sickness. Jesus is the one who sees her. Peter doesn't inform him, and she certainly doesn't ask for healing. But Jesus sees and he cares for her and her suffering. He is aware of her suffering. Jesus is aware of all the brokenness and the struggles we face in our world. And he is the one who steps in to act, to deal with the sickness, ultimately in his death and resurrection. Third, upon healing her, it is immediate and full healing, miraculous healing. No resting, no keeping up the fluids, no follow-up appointments. Instead, such a full restoration that she's able to get up out of bed and immediately start offering hospitality. No, you know, waiting till she's recovered from the fever and taking things easy for a while till she gets back her strength. Full, complete healing. Jesus is aware of her suffering, and he is the one with authority to bring full healing. He's aware even though others aren't or don't act, like a friend who sees that you've been having a hard time and arrives at your door with a care package without you even asking. Jesus cares and acts. And so, as we struggle in this broken world, even if no one sees our struggles, know that Jesus does. And he cares. And he acts to fix things. He is the one with the authority to bring healing. Now, I do want to say this, the healing that Jesus offers us may not come in the here and now. And I'll speak to that a bit. But it will come. And I'll speak to that a bit more later on. Jesus cares about those who suffer and has the authority to heal them fully. The final group in our passage is the crowd that come in the evening. Verse 16. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. What we learn here is the extent of Jesus' power. He healed all the sick. There was no one who was turned away because they were too hard a case. No problem or sickness that was just too far gone and so beyond Jesus' authority. There is nothing that Jesus can't deal with. Friends, do we believe this? I wonder if the answer to that question comes in what we bring to Jesus in prayer. What are the things that we hold back on when we come to Jesus in prayer? The things that we think, well, he can't really help with that, so I won't mention it. the chronic or serious things that we don't think Jesus is able to change. And though the sickness might not change, do we doubt that he might help us with the struggle? And so we don't mention it? Friends, Jesus has power over all sickness and brokenness. And so we need to bring all our struggles, our petitions, our frustrations, our disappointments, our pleas to him. He can handle them. He might not handle them in the way you want him to, but he has power to help, and he acts to help. Jesus has complete authority to heal. And the healing that we see in these passages, the healing, this power of healing that Jesus we've seen in this passage, is a healing that he offers us as well. In this passage, we've seen the power of Jesus to heal. And Matthew gives us an explanation about this, verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. This quote obviously taken from those famous verses in Isaiah about the suffering servant, the one who came to die to take away sin. So why is Matthew using it here? It seems kind of out of place, doesn't it? Isaiah is speaking about sin and forgiveness of sin. But here we see Jesus dealing with sickness and healing sickness. Why does Matthew use this quote? Well, I think Matthew's wanting us to see that Isaiah's suffering servant, the promised king, is Jesus. And this promised king, this suffering servant, comes to bring complete healing, spiritual and physical. Matthew's linking the picture of the suffering servant with Jesus who heals. Jesus is the one who has authority to heal people. And Matthew wants us to see that this physical healing is linked to a much greater healing that Jesus will do. A greater healing of spiritual healing that he will do as Isaiah's suffering servant. We'll see the same idea come up when Jesus heals the paralyzed man to show that he has authority to forgive sins. Jesus will bring spiritual healing by his suffering, healing from the sickness of sin and our rejection of God, the greater healing that we need. Jesus offers spiritual healing, that is salvation for all who trust in him. That is, whoever trusts in Jesus will be spiritually healed of their sin and brought to enjoy the heavenly banquet alongside Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in dealing with sin, Jesus deals with the cause of all suffering. The brokenness of our world that's brought by sin. The corruption that's gripped our world because of our sin. And as Jesus brings healing from sin, he brings healing to our world. For he'll bring in, we're told, a new creation where all the brokenness of this world will be fixed. A new creation where there'll be no more suffering or sickness or pain or death. And this promise of restoration and complete healing is a promise for all who put their trust in Jesus. And to trust in this coming healing is not, when we put our trust in Jesus for this kind of healing, we're actually not taking as big a risk as the leper and the centurion in our passage. Because we know that Jesus is risen from the dead. We know that this perfect restored kingdom is coming because Jesus has risen from the dead. The authority of Jesus to heal, which we've seen in this passage, points to his authority to heal fully, both spiritually and physically. A healing that he has done at the cross. A healing that he will bring to completeness when he returns. A healing for our broken world that we can long for and wait for with hope. Because we know that he is risen from the dead. A healing that we can be part of, enjoying the heavenly banquet in his perfect kingdom as we come to him and put our trust in him. The spiritual healing that Jesus offers us at the cross and the complete physical healing that we wait for is what allows so many Christians who suffer to endure in Christ, to even have hope in the future and comfort in the present. Because we know for a fact that there is a day coming when all the brokenness of our world will be dealt with. The one who has authority to heal, who died to achieve it, is risen, and he's coming back to restore our world, to heal our world. And all who trust him will experience the blessing and joy of that complete healing. So friends, in the midst of our broken world, we can keep trusting Jesus because he is the one with authority who brings healing. Let me lead us in prayer that we would trust him despite the suffering we might face. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you care that we suffer and struggle in this broken world we live in. And we thank you that you have acted to address the sickness and suffering we face. We thank you that you gave your Son the authority to deal with the brokenness and to bring healing. We ask that you would help us to keep trusting him even as we suffer. We ask, Father, that you would heal those of us who are suffering with sickness at this time. And we ask that if you don't heal physically at this time, that those who struggle would have comfort in knowing that Jesus will return to bring full healing. And we pray for that day to come soon. Amen.